The Supreme Court heard arguments today in an important death penalty case testing how judges should evaluate claims of racial discrimination in jury selection. At issue is the case of Thomas Miller L., an African-American convicted of a brutal murder in 1985. NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg has more.
The Supreme Court has long held that prosecutors may not use race as a basis for excluding jurors. And for more than two decades, the justices have struggled to establish guidelines on how to evaluate when race has been a factor. At the heart of the issue are so-called peremptory challenges, that is, challenges for no reason at all. Each side, prosecution and defense, has a set number of them. And in 1986, the Supreme Court ruled that when there's a pattern of racial exclusion, a judge must conduct a further inquiry, with prosecutors giving a non-racial reason for their strikes and the judge then weighing all the evidence. That decision eventually forced the trial judge to re-examine the jury selection in Miller L.'s case in Dallas, Texas. Not only had prosecutors used peremptory challenges to strike 10 of 11 black jurors, but Dallas is a county with a history of blatant discrimination in jury selection. Indeed, the DA's office used a training manual into the 1980s that instructed prosecutors to strike minorities from juries because they, quote, almost always sympathize with the defendant. At a hearing, prosecutors gave non-racial reasons for striking each juror, but defense lawyers claimed the reasons were a pretext since many white jurors who were not challenged gave nearly identical answers to those that prosecutors cited as objectionable from blacks. The judge, however, found the prosecution's reasons credible, and no appeals court has been willing to reopen the question. The Supreme Court, however, agreed to take a second look, and the case has taken on symbolic value. On the steps of the Supreme Court today, lawyers for the state of Texas did not appear, but lawyers for Miller L. did. Andrew Hamill is co-director of the Death Penalty Project at the University of Texas.
If not this case, which case? And the court needs to send a message that this sort of racial discrimination is still intolerable, still unacceptable, and in these extreme cases, we will work to make sure it's removed from the system.
Inside the courtroom, the justices at first seemed doubtful about second-guessing a trial court judge. But increasingly, their questions betrayed incredulity at the way Texas handles jury selection. Representing Miller L. was former Solicitor General Seth Waxman. The trial judge, said Waxman, did not look at the very substantial evidence of discrimination in the Dallas DA's office. He didn't look at the disparate questioning. If you look at the cards prosecutors made for each juror, he said, they note race, gender, religion, beards. And there's a remarkable coincidence of these characteristics and those that are in the manual that prosecutors say they weren't using anymore. Waxman went on to address the disparate questioning of jurors. Chief Justice Rehnquist, are you saying the prosecutors had to ask the same questions of each juror? Answer, not at all. They certainly can ask more searching questions of people with concerns about the death penalty. Indeed, in this case, noted Waxman, prosecutors used two scripts, one that described an execution in gory detail and one that didn't. The gory detail script was used to ask hesitant jurors if they really could impose the death penalty. But, said Waxman, even accepting the prosecution's assessment of the jurors, there were 10 black jurors with concerns about the death penalty and 10 white jurors. Of the 10 blacks, 7 got the gory script, but only 2 of the whites did. Waxman went on to discuss a practice known in Texas as the jury shuffle. 3 justices, O'Connor, the Chief Justice, and Kennedy, leaned forward, asking in unison, what does that mean? In Texas, and only Texas, Waxman explained, prospective jurors are seated in a room, and the ones in the front rows will be questioned first, with the back rows likely to be excused. The lawyers, based on their visual assessment alone, can ask for a jury shuffle, like a card shuffle, in which the order of the jurors is changed. Justice Kennedy, bug-eyed, are they actually reseated? Answer, yes. Justice Scalia, what's the consequence? Answer, the consequence is, if you're in the back rows, you're not likely to be questioned at all. In fact, here the judge told the 2 back rows they could go home. And in this case, said Waxman, the prosecution asked for 3 jury shuffles, resulting in far more black jurors moved from the front rows to the back. Rebutting Waxman's argument was Gina Bunn, representing the state of Texas. She faced a now openly hostile court. Justice Ginsburg, how could it be that with 10 white and 10 black jurors expressing hesitancy about the death penalty, 7 blacks got the graphic script in questioning, but only 2 whites? Justice Scalia, these are your numbers. Justice Breyer, I would have thought that the history of this office would be highly relevant here, but the judge made it pretty clear he wouldn't give it much weight. Answer, if there had been any error, it would have been corrected by the appeals court, said Bunn, suggesting that the defense evidence is all circumstantial. Justice Kennedy, yes, the historical evidence is circumstantial, but it's overwhelming. Why isn't it good evidence? A decision in the case is expected later in the term. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.